Let's stand in reverence to the Word of God this morning. I want to read one verse of Scripture in Psalm 144 and try to say what God's put on my heart this morning. I have a lot on my heart. Patriotism is not dead. Laura and Tanita, thank y'all. What a beautiful, beautiful job. And what makes it more beautiful to pastor is to know that it's not just a talent in your voice, but it's a treasure in your heart. That you love this country, that you love the Lord, amen, and that you love the church of the living God. And I appreciate that so very much. In the Bible, in Psalm chapter 144 and verse number 15, the Bible said, happy is that people that is in such a case, yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Amen. Last Sunday morning, I noticed no sooner did Brother Jim get it up on the internet, and I was listening to Brother Steve preach. And boy, did Brother Steve bring a good message last Sunday morning. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I've been chewing on that all week. And I thank God for men of God, and I thank God for the Scripture. But God wants me to bring a message today to encourage you. Because even Brother Steve has already mentioned in the pulpit this morning, division. But I want to encourage you today in the message, and I don't think I'll ever get done this morning. I'll have to come back tonight. But I want to preach today about three foundations that'll never be destroyed. Three foundations that will never be destroyed. You can be seated. Pray for us. And pray with us, please. Our Father, we want to thank you for the Word of God, and thank you, Lord, for loving us, and thank you for not only allowing us to live in the land we call America, where we're free, but Lord, allowing us to live a life, our Father, where we're out from under the bondage of sin. Lord, you said, he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Lord, I pray today that you would make our lives a blessing to these precious people. Lord, I know that David was very concerned as he was facing, Lord, Saul and the sin in Saul's life and the ungodliness and how that Saul was entering into places where, Lord, he had no business entering into. And Lord, I know that the Word of God asks the question, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I pray, dear Father, today that these truths that we will share with your precious people, our Father, will be an encouragement to them, will help us, our Father, to have a backbone, to have strength, to be able to stand in this evil day that we live in. God will give you glory for what you do. Save the lost, our Father. Lord, those in our attendance today that don't know you, may they, our Father, this day, Lord, be spoken to by the Spirit of the Holy God. God, may you help them to respond. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I could give you all three of the foundations, but I think I'll just concentrate on one this morning, and that is the foundation of our country. The foundation of our country. I want to ask you a question this morning. Now this is, I think it's settled, but if someone were to ask you this morning, was the United States of America founded upon Judeo-Christian principles, Amen, Brother Steve. On the Word of God. Then you would have to say, as Brother Steve already volunteered, yes, it was. So we know this morning, and I actually right now am shaking all over to know, beloved, that we're living in a country where the foundation is the principles of God's precious Word. And you and I that know the Word of God know this, that the Bible has already declared that this book, forever, O Lord, Thy Word, is settled in heaven. There's a lot of people in America today that are unsettled, but God's Word is settled. And I want to try to bring out some things that I believe will be a blessing in your hearing. In the Congress on July the 4th in 1776, the unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands that have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of earth the separate and equal station to which, please listen to these words, the laws of nature and of nature's God. I've been preaching since 1987, and probably one of the things that upsets people the most is when a pastor stands in a pulpit like this and preaches against sins that the Word of God said is against nature. I'm telling you, this document, the Declaration of Independence, talks about the laws of nature and nature's God. It said, entitle them a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Aren't you glad we're created equal? Aren't you glad we know the Creator? Aren't you glad that we can look back in our family history and never find a monkey? Aren't you glad that He made us in the image of God? Aren't you glad while our substance was not yet formed, His eye was on the sparrow, but His eye was also on that substance? They said here, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these, I want you to listen to these three things, are life. Who would have ever thought that in the United States of America we would be divided over life? Liberty. Who would have ever thought in the United States of America we would be divided? But here's what I'm going to tell you this morning. Now, if you don't get anything else out of this message, beloved, the problem is not the foundation. The problem is the house. The Word of God said that a house divided, that it cannot stand. I'm going to read several verses in just a few moments in your hearing. Among these are life and liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Let me tell you something right now, beloved. If you want to find happiness, you got to look where God is. The Word of God said, yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. You know what the problem is, beloved? We're living in a society where a lot of people are unhappy. A lot of people don't know the Lord. And we need to pray for those people. Say amen. But I believe with all of my heart, God wants to encourage us to realize that where we stand in the United States of America, we're standing on solid ground, because this nation was founded upon the principles of God's precious Word. Let me read the last paragraph to you for just a moment. We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America and General Congress, assembled appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world. Can I say this? I told our youngins in Sunday school this morning, God bless us with 10 beautiful teenagers this morning in our Sunday school class. And I told our youngins this in Sunday school this morning. These men, Brother Steve, they were not fools. They were not uneducated. When I read this document, there's words in there that I have to go to the dictionary or get Miss Eve to look it up and tell me what it means. I can't even say them, let alone spell them. They're educated men. Let me tell you something. True education and true science will take you to the Lord. It won't take you away from the Lord. We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America, General Congress assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are and of right ought to be free, independent states, that they are absolved from all of allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved, and that as a free and independent states, they have full power to levy war, to conclude peace, to contract alliances, to establish commerce, and do all other acts and things which independent states may of right do. And for the support of this declaration, get this, please, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. That's what, beloved, these men that signed and drafted the Declaration of Independence, they were not looking to be independent of God, but they were looking to depend on the God of heaven for their independence from tyranny in Britain. Say amen. And beloved, God wants us this morning to understand that we have a foundation in our country that will never, never be destroyed. Let me give you some things this morning. Thomas Jefferson said, how little do my countrymen know what precious blessings they're in possession of, which no other people on earth enjoy. Think about that. That's still true today. John Winthrop, he was an early Puritan leader whose vision for a godly commonwealth created the basis for an established religion that remained in place in Massachusetts until well after the adoption of the First Amendment. It was, however, eventually superseded by ideas of separation and state. Here's what he said. For this end, we must be knit together in this work as one man. We must entertain each other in brotherly affection. We must be willing to abridge ourselves of our superfluities for the supply of others' necessities. We must uphold a familiar commerce together in all meekness, gentleness, patience, and liberality. We must delight in each other, make others' conditions our own, rejoice together, mourn together. How many can see the foundation of Scripture in these lines, beloved? And he said, labor and suffer together, always having our eyes, before our eyes, our commission and community in the work, our community as members of the same body. So shall we keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The Lord will be our God and delight to dwell among us, and his own people will command a blessing upon us in all of our ways, so that we shall see more of his wisdom, more of his power, more of his goodness, more of his truth than formerly we have been acquainted with. Those that would come along, can I just say, when I'm preaching this morning, no wonder we're living in a society that wants to erase history. No wonder, beloved, they don't want our children to know about the foundation of this precious land that we live in, called the United States of America. No wonder they don't want an emphasis put on the price that's been paid that you and I can be free. No wonder. Samuel Adams said, I'm just going back to the foundation a little bit. Is that all right? He said, for true patriots to be silent is dangerous. Can I tell you what we need? Listen to me carefully. We need some more true patriots. Not only in the pulpit, but definitely in the pulpit. I'm telling you, beloved, I've already said things this morning that the average preacher in America is afraid to say. I'm telling you, beloved, when I made that statement against sin, against nature, read Romans chapter number 1. My grandfather was just an old-fashioned country bumpkin, and he would stand in the pulpit and say things like this, my goodness, youngins, the dog's got better sense than that. And yet, people are using this liberty not as a liberty to serve, but it's a license to sin. Told our class this morning, New York City last week, a woman pushing a baby in a stroller, man in a hooded sweatshirt comes up and executes her. You say, Pastor, what is going on? I tell you what's going on. Our children are not being taught. I tell you what's going on, beloved. Wickedness in men's hearts is just getting more desperate and more desperate and more desperate. It's no longer enough to sit at the video game and shoot people for 10 or 12 hours a day. Now we got to go out on the street and do the same. No longer do we have to wait on it to get dark, but now we can do it in broad daylight, knowing there's cameras on every street corner. Beloved, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. You say, Pastor, go with me to the book of Ephesians just a moment, please. The book of Ephesians. I appreciate your patience. I appreciate your prayers. I am literally, from the inside out, shaking this morning because I understand, beloved, what's at stake. The foundation is right. Look what the Word of God said in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 6, you know the text. Finally, my brethren, verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. God is saying to the church this morning, don't be weak, don't faint, don't quit, take a stand. You're standing on the right foundation. Say amen. The Word of God said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the spiritual darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, what God is looking for is some men, some women, some young men, some young women that'll take a stand and say, this country is worth fighting for. This country is worth dying for. Guard against the impostures of pretended patriotism. You know who said that? George Washington. You say, Pastor, let me just go ahead. There's a whole lot of things that are said from time to time in the Congress, and it's nothing more than pretended patriotism. Now, let me just speak in general terms. When what you're saying and what's coming out of your mouth, it's contrary to what's written in this book. It's not patriotism. It's pretended patriotism. There's a lot of people that pretend to love liberty and pretend to love this country. And all they want is their way or the highway. Samuel Adams said, if ever the time should come when vain and aspiring men shall possess the highest seats in government, our country will stand in need of its experienced patriots to prevent its ruin. My point in the message this morning, please listen to me carefully, is not that America will never be ruined, but is that America's foundation will never be ruined. What has happened? The songwriter said to a nation that used to fear the Lord, who had for its foundation this precious old book, God's Word. I believe with all of my heart this morning, beloved, that God is trying to help us, number one, to appreciate what we have, and number two, to stand up and guard against losing it at all costs. Are your children worth it? Are your grandchildren worth it? Say amen. The price of freedom, Thomas Jefferson said, is eternal vigilance. Alexander Hamilton said, however weak our country may be, I hope we shall never sacrifice our liberties. John Adams said, but a constitution of government once changed from freedom can never be restored. Liberty once lost is lost forever. No wonder Patrick Henry said, give me liberty or give me death. No wonder, because he understood the principle. If y'all will give me a few more minutes, are you okay? I want to give you a couple of things. I'm just trying to establish. Listen, not all the men in the foundation of our country were God-fearing men. But read the documents. You that are here, Brother Junior, you're in your 90s. Brother Grizzle, you're in your 80s. I think that's right anyway, amen. He don't always act like it, but I think he's in his 80s. You all remember when lost people had a great respect. A lost man wouldn't even set a cup of coffee on a Bible. You remember when a lost man wouldn't come on the property of the church and vandalize or do like we've seen it. We've seen two different couples, or I wouldn't call them couples, but having sex on the parking lot of our church. That'll help you to understand why we've tried to gate it off. To stop the nonsense. But there was a time, beloved, when lost people would not have dared to do such a thing on the property of the house of God. George Washington said, you do well to wish to learn our arts and ways of life, and above all, the religion of Jesus Christ. These will make you greater and happier people than you are. While we are zealously performing the duties of good citizens and soldiers, we certainly ought not to be inattentive to the higher duties of religion, to the distinguished character of patriot. It should be our highest glory to add the more distinguished character of Christian. That's our first president. The blessing and protection of heaven are at all times necessary, but especially so in times of public distress and danger. I believe he's more than a president. I believe he's a prophet. The general hopes and trusts that every officer and man will endeavor to live and act as becomes a Christian soldier. Listen to that, Jacob. Listen to that. Let that sink in. Defending the dearest rights and liberties of this country. When people come along and tell you this Bible has no place in this country, they're lying to you. When they tell you the Ten Commandments have no place on the courthouse wall, they're lying to you. They're lying to you. And you know one of the problems? Pulpits in America are standing full of people that's believed the lie. Pews in America are sitting full of people that's believed the lie. That's why, beloved, you can have a sodomite in the pulpit. In America, they believe the lie. That's why adultery doesn't matter. Drunkenness doesn't matter. Stealing doesn't matter. I think about these youngins taking up the money for the children in Africa. I can't remember if it was here or at another church. One of the youngins was helping take up. I think it was here. Because I believe there was an adult with him. Somebody put some money in the offering plate and he looked up and said, "He's rich." Can I tell you something? If you know Jesus this morning, you're rich. And I'll tell you this, if you don't know him, you're a pauper. To know Christ is to know true liberty. John Adams said, "I now make it my earnest prayer that God would most graciously be pleased to dispose us all to do justice, to love mercy." That sound familiar, Brother Steve? If you read your Bible, it does, don't it? "And to demean ourselves with that charity, humility, and pacific temper of the mind which were the characteristics of the divine author of our blessed religion." I'm just trying to paint you a picture this morning, beloved. Do not believe the lie. America was founded right. The foundation is sure. John Adams said, "Without religion, this world will be something not fit to be mentioned in polite company." He said, "I mean hell." That's what he said. The Christian religion is above all the religions that ever prevailed or existed in ancient or modern times, a religion of wisdom, virtue, equity, humanity. Suppose a nation in some distant region should take the Bible for their only law book, and every member should regulate his conduct by the precepts that were exhibited. What a utopia! What a paradise would this region be! And while he's speaking of, suppose someone would take the Bible for their law book, we have those that think the Bible ought to be discarded altogether. Life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. John Adams said, "I've examined all religions, and the result is that the Bible is the best book in the world." Thomas Jefferson said, "The doctrines of Jesus are simple and tend all to the happiness of man. The practice of morality being necessary for the well-being of society, He, God, has taken care to impress its precepts so indelibly on our hearts that we should not be effaced with the subtleties of our brain. We all agree in the obligation of the moral principles of Jesus, and nowhere will they be found delivered in greater purity than in His discourses." Thomas Jefferson said, "I am a Christian in the only sense in which he wished anyone to be, sincerely attached to his doctrines in preference to all others. He said, I am a real Christian. That is to say, a disciple of the doctrines of Jesus Christ. How did James say it? Be not hearers of the word only. We got a lot of hearers, but be a doers of the word. This morning, I leave you with this. We'll come back tonight for two other foundations that will never be destroyed. But the foundation of our country will never, never be destroyed. I didn't say our country. Years ago, when I heard about, as a child, the nuclear powers, and you saw what happened at Hiroshima, I always thought, this thing's going up in smoke. When I say this thing, I'm talking about our country. But in recent years, I've begun to become convinced that I'm not sure anybody's going to have to fire a shot. We're doing a pretty good job of eating one another, devouring one another. Several years ago, Brother Steve said something about, I can't word it exactly, but the speaking becomes shoving, and then the shoving becomes shooting, something to that nature. Men's hearts are failing them for fear. But aren't you glad you know the one and know the scripture that perfect love casteth out fear? In America, the problem is not the foundation. The problem is the house. I'm almost finished. Matthew 12:25, Jesus knew their thoughts, and he said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. Let me say this to you. It appears to me, I might make somebody mad. You get mad, you just go ahead and get mad, you can get in line. But it appears to me that there are some decisions being made in the Supreme Court of the United States of America that are pointing us back to our foundation. Judges that call themselves originalists. By the way, beloved, when it comes to the things of God, that's what I am. If God told Moses, thou shalt not commit adultery, I believe it's the same today. I don't believe it changes for every generation. If God said, thou shalt not steal, but I don't believe that changes for our generation. If God said, thou shalt have no other gods before me, I believe that's still true today. I believe that we don't need a document that's evolving. By the way, it's free. It won't cost you a dime. That's why they're writing a new Bible about every 6 months. That's why they got one now, don't have any gender in it, don't have any he's, don't have any she's. Dear God in heaven, help us. Amen. If Satan cast out Satan, he's divided against himself. How then shall his kingdom stand? Mark 3:24, and if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. But he, knowing their thoughts, he said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. Luke 12:53, the Father shall be divided against the Son, and the Son against the Father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother, the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Make a couple statements and I'm done. This book and the cross of Jesus Christ is a divider of men. There was a thief on one side of Jesus that died to sin that day. Brother Michael, he looked over at Jesus and said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." I'm not putting words in the thief's mouth, but I'm going to tell you what, Jesus looked right at his heart. He was saying, "I believe you are who you said you are." I kind of believe he's thinking something like this, if he can forgive that mob for what they done to him. You remember the Bible said in Isaiah his visage was so marred more than the form of any man. He looked like a piece of meat hanging on a pole, stripped naked. He died to his sin. The other man, he had a big old two-letter word. If. Oh, how many people are going to die with an if? If thou be the Christ, come down and get us down. The man in the middle, the Lord Jesus, he died for our sin. The man on one side died to his sin. The other man died just like the majority are dying today, in his sin. You say, "Pastor, you can't say that." Oh, yes, I can. Narrow is the way that leadeth to life eternal. Few there be that find it. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be that go in thereat. I give you this, and Sister Laura, if you'll come and get us a song of invitation. Pastor, what are the issues that divide us? This is so strange. Life. Liberty. And the pursuit of happiness. You think about what I just said. Foundation's fine. The foundation's right. The people are divided in America about life. You say, "Pastor, how can you say they're divided about liberty?" Beloved, we're not living in a country where we're free to shoot people, free to steal people, free to cheat people. That's not what liberty's about. Liberty, the pursuit of happiness. You say, "Pastor, how could we be divided on that?" Well, some understand that Psalm, I believe 144, where we read verse number 15, that happiness comes from the Lord. Some think it comes from materialism and the things of this world. Some think it comes from power and prestige. But you and I know, beloved, that happiness is from the Lord. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. How many's glad this morning we're on the right foundation as a country? Nothing wrong with their foundation. But there's something wrong with the house. The house. Think about it. I mean, really, really. I mean, it just dawned on me. I mean, a lot of people say, "Well, you mean the House of Representatives? Well, they're divided. You mean the Senate? Well, it's divided." Are not those bodies a reflection of our country. Thank God for America. I will tell you something. I don't have long to go in this old world. But Jacob, by the grace of God, I'll stand beside you if that's what it takes. Brother Steve, you'll stand beside us, won't you? And we'll fight for this country because we love this country. We would lay our life on the line. You say, that's some big talk. You'll find out how big the talk is if somebody comes through those doors and tries to light that flag on fire. Something's going to have to give, Brother Steve. Something's going to have to give. Brother Jason, if you knew what the intent was, I probably wouldn't have to deal with it. It'd be dealt with halfway down the aisle. Amen. Thank God for America.